Children's Church, they're free to head to one of the exits and head to the doors and get ready for Children's Church. Thank you very much and for doing that. Good to have Sarah home. She's home during the summer from attending Central Michigan University. So always good to see the college kids come through and come home. And hard to believe that that time moves along that quickly. So I know Mom and Dad's always glad to have her home. Let's take our Bibles today, and if you will, go to the Old Testament. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll find your place there. I'm also going to share one verse with you over in Joshua 24, and then our main text will come out of Galatians 5. So this morning, it pays to know the books of the Bible, amen, and to know where to go to navigate and that. Today being Father's Day, and you know, we're most of all thankful for our Heavenly Father, obviously, and that for the salvation that He provides, for being our Creator God. And I trust you took time early this morning as you got up and got moving in that to remember your Heavenly Father and God, the Creator of us all, and the one that provided a way of eternal life for His salvation. And we thank God most of all for Him, but we also thank God for our earthly fathers. So I trust that you'll enjoy Father's Day today. You know, I was thinking, I was doing the math, adding it up myself. Our first son was born in 1975, so been a father now, trying to think, would it be 47 years, and that, so our kids are getting older. I reminded my oldest son here a while back, I said, Chad, you realize in another 4 years you're going to be 50, and he said, Dad, don't even bring that up, let's not talk about that, and so hard to believe that, you know, when you have kids that get in to be in their 40s or 50 years of age and that, but seems just like yesterday that my wife and I were at Annapolis Hospital with Dr. Marvin. Anybody remember that name, Dr. Marvin? Delivered a lot of babies at Calvary Baptist Church in Wayne, and he was the doctor that delivered Chad. And I spent a whole day at Annapolis Hospital that day, But anyway, it's always good on Father's Day to thank the Lord for the children that God gives. And so we're going to look here in Deuteronomy and. Look at some verses. You know, we're going to look at the nation of Israel. I titled the message today, Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. But I want to, and I'll get to that in Galatians here in a moment, but when you look in Deuteronomy 6, the nation of Israel, there's very specific guidelines that are given here in Deuteronomy 6 for the nation of Israel, and where the men are to be the spiritual leaders of their homes and their families. They're to give guidance, they're to give direction, they're to provide for their families. God puts a lot of responsibility on us as fathers. And so I just want to go back and kind of reflect a little bit on Deuteronomy 6, the importance of what God's Word says here in Deuteronomy 6 in verse 1. Notice in verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So as you look here in the book of Deuteronomy, this was written by Moses, and as they were to go into the promised land of Canaan, he gave instructions to the family, to the men, to the spiritual leaders of the home, and they were to go back. I would key in on that verse 7. They were to take the Lord, to teach the Word of God, that they're to teach their families, and that they are, in verse 5, to love the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. That becomes to the heads of the house, to the spiritual leaders of the home, the responsibility to love God. And that's why I'm convinced 100% the best thing that you and I can do as a father is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Best thing that you can do for your children is to love God with all your heart. You want to have a better marriage? The best thing you can do in your marriage, guys, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. God puts the requirement and the guidelines first and foremost here is that as the spiritual heads of our home, the leaders of our homes, and that we're to walk with the Lord and to fellowship with Him and to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And we find it so vitally important that we put God first in our relationship and that we walk with Him, fellowship with Him, commune with Him, have that relationship with Him. And in doing so, it will help us in our marriages. It will help us in raising our children. It will help us to be the spiritual leaders that God intends and wants us to be. Let me show you a spiritual leader, a good example, I think, in Joshua chapter 24. If you want to go over another book there and go to the end of Joshua. And Joshua was the man that took the reins when Moses left off and was to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And in doing so, as he led Israel into the promised land, in that they possessed the land. And when it came to the end of Joshua's last charge, at the end of his ministry, at the time of his death, before he passed away, you know, I've often thought about that. I thought, you know, what would you say? If you knew today was your last day, what would you say to your spouse and what would you say to your children? Well, this is interesting because here in Joshua 24, Joshua gives kind of like his last charge and gives some instructions to the nation of Israel. He also gives some instructions to his family. And here they are. Look at what he says here. To the nation of Israel, he says in verse 15, Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now notice the spiritual leadership of Joshua. He says here, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you think about it here, Joshua may not be able to control the nation of Israel. He may not be able to control every tribe, every family, and that, but he can have a godly influence upon them, and he did so. And by doing so here, he simply says, make a choice. Choose who you're going to serve, whether it be the gods of this world, the false gods of this world, whoever they are, whether on this side of Jordan or that side of Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But Joshua is sending out a proclamation to his family, and as the leader of his home, he says, but as for me and my household, as for those that I'm responsible for those that are under my umbrella, for those that I have to answer to God for, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the choice that he made right here, and I think a great one. And I think that's a great verse to claim, fathers, especially on this Father's Day. You have a choice. You can make a choice. You can choose the gods of this world. You can choose the evils of this world. You can choose the things that are going on in this world. Or you can say to yourself and to your spouse and to your family, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that responsibility falls on us as fathers, upon us as grandfathers, upon us. And that's why I really believe the greatest thing, I really believe this, there are many grandfathers sitting here in the sanctuary today. I think the greatest thing you and I can do as a grandfather is to make sure you walk with the Lord and you fellowship with the Lord, and that your grandchildren knows that you, as a grandfather, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I think it's the greatest thing we can do to pass on that influence, and that, you know, sometimes when you look at it, and I look at fathers in life. I grew up in a situation where my father grew up on a farm, and my grandmother had some health issues and passed away. And while I'm explaining this to you, you might want to go to Galatians chapter 5. And Galatians 5, I want to show you some verses there in a moment. But my grandmother had what was called a goiter. She had a large goiter in her neck and some real thyroid issues. And this would have been back in the 40s, and so they had to do surgery. Long story short, my grandmother passed away. She was saved, went to heaven. We know that in the family. She was a very dedicated, godly woman. But it left my grandfather alone with 8 children on the farm. Now, it's hard enough to raise 8 children as a husband and wife. It's altogether another thing if you're going to try to raise 8 children by yourself. So the older boys started taking off into the Army, the Marine Corps, and began to serve, and so my grandfather started dating another lady and brought her, started... my one uncle come back from the war and come back with his wife. She moved into the farm, and my dad was only 16 years of age, and there was such a ruckus going on that time. My grandmother had gone to heaven that he left home at age 16. And so he went to Mansfield, Ohio, lived in a boarding house by himself, 16 years old, raised himself from 16 years of old of age, and began to just get a job and go to work. He was a hard-working man and didn't play any sports. I always wanted to play sports with me, but he never would play sports. But his hobby was farming and gardening and all that. And so I learned a lot about gardening and farming and all that along the way by being with them. And then so he had a kind of a rough childhood growing up. But I watched my grandfather then go through some very tough times through that whole process. And as a result of things kind of just falling apart, I watched my grandfather try to commit suicide. And I, you know, watched alcohol begin to have an impact. I didn't get saved till I was 16 years of age. And there were many in our family that didn't get saved till older in life. And so I watched in those days, it was pretty common on that side of the family, on our side of the family. I used to go to my uncle's homes, and they'd have liquor, whiskey, and beer bottles. My one uncle, Carl, had beer bottles lined up all the way in the basement from one wall to the other, and all the way as high as you could, you know, 4 or 5 feet high, just cases and cases of beer. So there was a lot of drinking and a lot of cussing, a lot of smoking, and a lot of whatever, just wild living going on. I used to watch my dad's brother go to the bar at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then not come home till 5, 6 o'clock at night. And when I got my first job at age 14, I used to drive by, and I'd see my uncle's car sitting at this bar. And then guess what happened one day? The man, he was in the war, in World War II, in the Marine Corps. The man got saved, and his life changed on a dime. I remember the day that he took and cleaned out all the beer in the basement and threw it all away. Took and cleaned everything out under the kitchen sink and the cupboards. Got rid of all the whiskey and got rid of everything there. The smoking went away. The alcohol went away. Everything went away. And he began to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Matter of fact, the day that I got saved, my Uncle Carl come up to me in a church just like this one. Said, "Rick, now that you're saved, I want to give you your first Bible." And he got me a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And you talk about a changed life. When it talks about here in Galatians 5, walking in the Spirit, when a person gets saved, you can live a changed life. And when Paul gets here in Galatians chapter 5, you know, I began to see in my own family the impact of what Christ can do in a life, and the importance of walking in the Spirit, the importance of how we can go from being lost to being saved, how we can go from being evil and corrupt to being saved, how we can think like the flesh thinks and like the world thinks, and that all changes when you're converted to Christ. The greatest thing you can do, I think, on this Father's Day, if you're not yet saved, is give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one key verse that I want you to see in verse 16 of Galatians 5, where Paul said this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So my challenge, my message today on this Father's Day is simply to fathers, is to walk in the Spirit. The greatest thing you and I can do for our family is to walk in the Spirit. The greatest thing you can do in your life is to walk in the Spirit. Number one, to be saved. And number two, is to not to be influenced by the things of the flesh. The influence of the flesh. Let me show you how Paul describes this in Galatians 5 so we can understand it. You notice in verse 1 he talks about stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What a great verse in the Bible. You and I need to stand firm and stand fast in the liberty and the freedoms that we have in Christ. And he says in verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that..." And Paul here ties in circumcision. And he says here that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit now, the Holy Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness," he says here, "by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So the key word here in this is faith. We are saved by faith. We live by faith. And here, "by faith worketh by love." And he says here in verse 7, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Paul said, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, yet I preach circumcision. Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." I want to, you know, it's really good. You're coming up to July 4th here, not long, but I think about the liberty that we have in Christ. "You have been called unto liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." When you think about that, you know, I often think about the illustration that, you know, I really believe in the Bible doctrine that you and I, that once we're saved and we come to Christ and that we're born again and that we know Him as our personal Savior, that we have the promise and the hope of eternal life. But one thing we need to realize then too, that does not give you and I the right, just because we're saved and we know Christ is our Savior, that we can go out here and just do whatever we want according to the flesh, according to the evils of the world, or according to the enticement of the world, say, "Well, I'm saved, I know Christ is my Savior, so therefore if I go do this or do that, then I have the liberty to go do that." And no, you still ought to live a sanctified. So Paul will go from this into the sanctification of the believer, that you and I need to be sanctified. And sanctification is simply the setting apart, is that you and I are saved in Christ. When we get saved, we are set aside in Christ. But we are progressively sanctified, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this liberty here, just because I'm saved doesn't give me the free will choice or the liberty to go out here and, well, if I want to go do this or do that or whatever. Sometimes I think people want to live so close to the edge of sin, see how close, you know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, so if I do this, it's really not all that bad. Sin is sin, no matter how you describe it. And God says we ought to separate that. For he says, "Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh." He says here, "But by love then serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What a great verse in our world today. To love thy neighbor as thyself, and to realize around us that simply, you know, when I think about that in verse 13, to love thy neighbor as thyself, and to realize here the importance of that, the Bible simply says that God is love. And to love thy neighbor as thyself simply is to show the love of God, to show people that there's something different in your life. And that is simply your salvation, your testimony in Christ. There should be more love exuding from our lives as believers in Christ, because Christ has saved us. And so by love, then serve one another. that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But notice he says here in verse 15, if you bite and you devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. I think there's too much of that going on in our world and our society today. I am amazed at what I hear and what I see in our world today and how people will say things that are hurtful and hateful and evil and corrupt and say things. And then, you know, sometimes they'll go back and they'll speak for whatever's in the moment of that time. Later on, maybe reverse their position on it or whatever. But he says here, Christian, especially for the believer, as we have that liberty in Christ, be careful. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed. So Paul simply says this. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's three things that cause the fall of man, for man to fall into sin. By the way, it's the same three things that will get you and I into trouble today that causes you and I to fall into sin. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Pride. Those three things is what caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin. It's the same three things that today is the root cause of all sin and all choices that we make today. You can take any sin you want, and you pretty much can narrow it back, and it leads back to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. And so he says here simply that if you'll walk in the Spirit, how do you walk in the Spirit? I think when you and I get saved, we're born again, we're baptized by the Spirit of God, by Spirit baptism into the body of Christ. We ought to get up every day and to realize that we ought to be giving ourselves afresh and anew to Him, to walk in the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We have choices to make by walking in the Spirit. You can choose today on this Father's Day, and really the message is to fathers. We need fathers, more fathers, and to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. If you'll walk in the Spirit, you have better chances of success in your families and with your children and with your family. And the importance of it, today we need more and more men to do what Joshua said. I don't know what's going to happen in the nation, but I know as for me and my house, I can't control Israel, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will choose to follow Him. We will choose to walk in the Spirit. We'll choose to walk in the power of the Spirit. So here's what Paul does now. He gives the contrast. And notice the contrast that he gives. By doing so, the Holy Spirit then can give us victory over sin. Now he goes on to outline some of the sins in verse 17. And notice where Paul goes with this on the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That line right there, you ought to underline it in your Bible and realize there's a real battle going on in our minds and in our hearts today, and that's the flesh against the Spirit. If you choose to walk in the Spirit, you're going to be in a battle against the flesh. The flesh here, and the Spirit against the flesh. And the Bible says in verse 17, these two things, the Spirit and the flesh, are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Do you ever get up and sometimes maybe have the best of intentions, want to make the right choices, and then wonder why you don't make the right choices? You find the battle goes on between the flesh and the Spirit. And Paul said this in verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he identifies some of the works of the flesh. Boy, see if this doesn't describe our society today. The works of the flesh in verse 19 are manifest, in other words, are evident, are on display in the world we live. Number one, he starts out with adultery. In a relationship where a husband or a wife chooses to go outside the bonds of holy matrimony and have a relationship with somebody else, and God forbids that, and he really goes against the works of the flesh. If a person's living in adultery, they're living in the flesh. They're not walking in the Spirit. He identifies the second thing here is fornication. And that is sexual relations between two people that are outside the bonds of holy matrimony. Sex is a good thing, but it's created in the bonds of holy matrimony, reserved only for the husband and the wife married together and the Spirit of Christ in the bond of marriage. Sex is never approved of by the Bible outside, and we live in a world and a society today where there's a lot of lust of the flesh going on and a lot of fornication going on in our world, and it's almost become acceptable in our society that that's just the thing that you do and that's what happens. No, it's not. He says here, fornication. And he goes on to say here, uncleanness, morally and spiritually unclean. And then lasciviousness. And so he really addresses in verse 19 the sexual sins of a society. Notice how he transitions then into verse 20, idolatry. God has always been against idolatry as one of the Ten Commandments. And then he identifies here witchcraft. He identifies hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I could preach a message on each one of these here, but verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So he takes verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21 and identifies all the works of the flesh, or many of the works of the flesh. And then notice what he says here. And he gets down to verse 21. Of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is so important here to see the battle is with the lust of the flesh. The battle is always with, are you going to walk in the spirit? Are you going to walk in the lust of the flesh? Are you going to walk in the lust of the eye? Are we going to realize the importance? And if we will walk in the spirit, then we can avoid these things of the lust of the flesh. So notice how he gives this here then in verse 22. He talks about, remember that, walking in the spirit in verse 16. Now he gives us the fruit of that spirit is in verse 22. Excuse me on my voice. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. These three things here would indicate the inward part of man. Love and joy and peace. Notice that he goes on to say here, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. These three things would indicate the expression that towards man. And towards our fellow man, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. And then he gives us faith and meekness and temperance. I don't know what happened, but Paul, you may have to come preach the rest of this sermon. So bear with me here. But when you look at it, he gives here the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh as these three go, as these battle against the Spirit and the flesh as they go back and forth between each other. It says here in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, and with the affections and lust, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So the importance today on this Father's Day, I really believe, is to realize that we need to walk in the Spirit of God. If we're not walking in the Spirit of God and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're opening ourselves up to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the things that can attack us. And it's so important to have the Spirit of God upon our lives and walking in the power of that Spirit. So fathers, today, my message is say, before I go completely lose my voice, is to walk in the Spirit today and to make that commitment to Him to walk in the Spirit of God and not in the spirit of the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for this Father's Day. Thank You for the opportunity today to know that You are our Heavenly Father. So today, God, the message is very simple today, that it's our desire to walk in the Spirit. We know there are many temptations. We know there are many challenges. We know there are many obstacles out there to overcome. So God, on this Father's Day today, the calling it goes out that we as fathers would walk in the Spirit and be like Joshua of old, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so God, we need to make that decision. Every man here today should make that decision in his life. I don't know who's going to follow, but I know as for me and my house,
I'm going to make that decision that I'm going to serve the Lord and walk in the Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God, we know these things of the lust of the flesh are dangerous and hurtful and damaging and destroys families and destroys lives. So God, today on this Father's Day, help us to walk in the Spirit of God and to know you and to love you and to thank you for being our Heavenly Father today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. I want to extend a verse of invitation today, fathers, to walk in the Spirit. And what greater thing you can do on this Father's Day than to say, you know what, today, June the 19th, 2022, I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to walk in the Spirit of God day by day. Otherwise, if you do not, you choose not to do that, you open yourself up to the lust of the flesh and all the things that goes on that can entice and pull you away from walking in the Spirit. There's a battle. Paul described it as a battle between the Spirit and the flesh. One is contrary with the other. Let's make the right choice today. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Brother Bob, if you'll lead us today. The altar's open. If you want to come to pray, we invite you to come to pray today.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word.
Are you going to walk in the Spirit today and trust Him?
Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He
head bowed and every eye closed. As I think about this, you know what? Jesus in the New Testament hung out with sinners, people living in idolatry and in fornication and open sin, to be able to convert them to Christ and change their life. I don't care where you're at, whatever background you're in, and whatever is going on in your life. If you're listening by way of live stream today, God, there's no sin too great that God cannot forgive. He'll forgive you of anything, but you need to come to Him and to desire Him and to fellowship with Him and to walk with Him today. And whatever's going on, just surrender your heart and your life to Him. Say, God, today I choose to walk in the Spirit today. Brother Bob, if you'll lead us one more song.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him.
God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Be seated just for a moment. I apologize for my voice. I don't know what's going on. It's just like it blew a gasket. And so I think it's time to get the aloe vera juice out. Did you know that? I don't know if you know that or not. But aloe vera juice is good for the vocal cords and good for the throat. And I had a pastor friend of mine that had a glass of aloe vera juice set right on the corner of the pulpit. And so I guess it lubricates the throat. But anyway, just since it's Father's Day, there is no service tonight. And just follow the bulletin on the other things that are going on. Teen Summer Camp, they'll be having that coming up here June the 26th to the 30th. They're preparing for Vacation Bible School. They're always looking for more help for VBS. If you're interested in helping with that, see Pastor Adam or Haley on Vacation Bible School. Make sure you mark the date, August the 25th. The Golden Agers are going to be going to on a cruise on the Detroit River, August the 25th, and that. So there's other things going on, and that. Also, I would just throw this out If you're interested, I see and understand that Franklin Graham and his ministry will be in Flint, Michigan on September the 29th at the Crossroads Village. So if you're interested in that, we talked about in Sunday school putting a van or a couple van loads together. Those that perhaps would like to go to Crossroads Village, it's on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and the Franklin Graham ministry will be having a gospel there, doing a six-city tour, and they're going to land right here in Flint, Michigan, in that area there, up off of Mount Morris Road. So might be something you're interested in. Pray about it. There will be more details that we'll put that out later on if you're interested in maybe going up to that date on September 29th. Let's stand together, and good to see you. Happy Father's Day. Go spoil your fathers real good today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. God, most of all, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father and being our God. God, thank you for our salvation, and just thank you for our earthly fathers. God, we know that you choose the families that we're born into. And God, we don't make that choice, you do. And God, I thank you for my earthly father, these people today. Thank you for their earthly father today. And so God, today we know many of us, our earthly fathers are in heaven today. And so God, may we take the words of Joshua of old and be an example to our families, and to realize that like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord all the days of our lives until the Lord Jesus comes. In his name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Have a great day.
Happy June 19th, too.